So I'm Simone Ahuja. I'm the founder and principal of Blood Orange. We're an innovation strategy advisory firm. We're headquartered in Minneapolis, but we've got global teams. And mostly what we do is we help large firms act like startups through a fast and frugal innovation methodology that moves ideas through to execution. We provide innovation and entrepreneurship consulting services, interactive labs, and keynotes. Some organizations across sectors have included 3M, Procter & Gamble, Stanley Black & Decker, and the World Economic Forum. I'm an HBR.org columnist, and I serve as an advisor to MIT's Practical Impact Alliance. I'm the co-author of an international best-selling book called Jugaad Innovation, which is really about frugal innovation and how to create high value at a low cost, and the author of a forthcoming book on entrepreneurship called Disrupt It Yourself, which is being published by HarperCollins in 2018. Today, I'm really excited to talk to Nick DeMay because of his extensive experience with large corporations in innovation and entrepreneurship. We're going to talk about a few things: recognition of entrepreneurs, retention and engagement of entrepreneurs, and finally, how do we keep them in the driver's seat? So I'm going to share a little bit of context before Nick introduces himself. Now, some studies show that 70% or up to 70% of entrepreneurs get their ideas while they're working for large firms, but then they leave to launch their business. Most often that's because their ideas require a new business model that doesn't fit easily with the firm's existing model. So today we want to talk a little bit about how can companies identify and reward entrepreneurs who are working outside of traditional boundaries of the organizations, and what can firms do that's actually of value to these entrepreneurs. And finally, it's also about engagement and keeping the entrepreneurs connected. So if we know that around 50% of employees are unhappy with their current roles, we'd love your insight, Nick, around whether the support of entrepreneurship can be a driver of engagement. And then how do we keep those entrepreneurs connected to their passion projects so we don't see things fizzle out? So with that, I'll just have you introduce yourself, Nick.
Okay, great. Thanks for a quick introduction already. So yes, I'm Nick. I'm one of the co-founders of the Board of Innovation. I think we need to be in the very same space. Our own activities are basically twofold. So one is purely focused on supporting innovation projects within large corporates. So focus on actual content of those projects, meaning we organize accelerator programs, design sprints, anything focused on accelerating projects forward. And the second pillar of our company is focused on talent development and the training of people. So typically a large company will come to us to help them find entrepreneurs, to coach them, to change the mindset and the culture of the organization for the long term. So both activities for us link to long-term innovation, building up long-term innovation capabilities for an organization. And so maybe as a side note, everybody in our team has a very mixed background. So they typically work on innovation projects, and the same people who work on projects teach or train people when working on the culture side or on the people side. So I strongly believe that you can only teach or inspire people when you have hands-on experience in actually doing innovation projects. And that's something we tend to put forward when we work together with companies.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that introduction to you and the company that you founded. So let's dive into that a little bit. You know, you've had this experience on both sides. You've had an experience as an innovator. You teach people about innovation. And through that, you must have learned about the role of senior leadership, for example, in building and keeping entrepreneurs. It's a slippery thing with entrepreneurs because sometimes they just don't feel supported. But what about senior leaders? What's their responsibility and their role in making sure these entrepreneurs feel connected?
Yeah, I think they have a very critical role to play. And only from our side, we had to learn that not only by doing in the end, because at first, as innovators ourselves, we were very much too much focused on talk about the business model and the new trends and the technology behind it and maybe the user insights, whatever, but just focus on the projects. We quickly realized, of course, we need to focus on the people side as well. So the entrepreneurs, because you need the right people, the right team to bring those projects forward. And maybe after a couple of years, we realized, or also the organization that we work with, we realized, okay, it's not just this innovation cell, this department, but you also need leadership team needs to be involved. So the people around that innovation team, senior leaders, they need to have some sort of connection. Otherwise, they will not give it the right support. So today, what we typically do is when we start a new initiative, we at first, one of the basic things, we try to look for a straight connection to the leadership team who's responsible for innovation. And it could be C-level support, or it could be innovation director with enough responsibility or enough reach within the organizations. But just finding the right connection there, that somebody is following it closely and can make very fast decisions, because you can't wait for 3 months before the innovation committee comes back or something. So you need a direct line or connection to bring projects forward. So just a communication channel itself, that it's probably one of the most critical things already.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I agree. I do the same thing in our practice, is we do stay connected to senior leadership. I think it's interesting because entrepreneurship, though it's sort of bottom up and it's sort of grassroots, in large firms without that kind of senior leadership support and that kind of connection, it's pretty hard to create something meaningful. Say a little bit more about culture. You talked about people at the center of entrepreneurship. Say something about the culture and how the culture starts to inform the impact an entrepreneur can make.
I think by definition, culture is a long-term process. So that's already a first thing. So anytime when you want to touch the culture of an organization, you need to somehow be involved for the long term. So it's when we step in or ask maybe for a very short engagement, so like a typical 5-day design sprint or something, or people involve us for a hackathon, but then they come to us also with a question, and this should have an impact on our culture and should have an impact on the mindset. It's our role, of course, to clarify what's possible to do in just a couple of days. So it's with the first understanding, okay, what do you mean with culture? What do you want to achieve? And because it's a long-term strategy to change the culture, you need to see this in a bigger picture. So you might do a design sprint, you might set up an accelerator, even if that takes 3 or 4 months. But just by learning what's difficult along this process, it could be other tools, could be the internal politics, whatever, you learn what has an impact on the culture in this organization. Why is the culture maybe not supporting this entrepreneurship initiative? And this is very different depending on the organization, but you can only do that by actually running different initiatives. But if you have the support from higher in the organization, that they see, okay, we do this maybe a couple of times, but along the way, we want to gradually improve and maybe try to understand what we can improve to see what goes wrong and what we should change in the next cycle. Gradually, you can build on that. Because I think in many cases, even if they say you want to improve the culture, their own, let's say, diagnosis of the problem is not always correct. And it's not our kid. And we also need time to really feel what's the issue here and what's blocking the innovation initiatives that are there. And just by executing some of the projects, you realize, okay, in this organization, it's mainly the internal politics that's difficult, or you don't have the capabilities in-house to actually do it. So that creates frustration. Or there might be other issues, maybe the responsibility to make decisions on innovation is not rightly allocated, but it's always different in every organization. And if you want to change the culture or change the mindset, you of course need to fully understand what's the context of this specific company before you actually can make some suggestions and changes later on. That's a challenge always. That's not something you can do in a couple of days. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what you're saying in terms of, you know, this is not a one-dimensional approach you can take. And it makes me think of McKinsey's influence model, you know, knowing why we do what we do, how we do it. Is there role modeling? And is there reinforcement in this case for entrepreneurial behaviors? Which of these, Nick, do you think is most often missing? What's the missing link that you see where you think that large firms need the most help?
For me, it's a difficult question, because I see already two different types of companies. So one could say we work with companies that are really mature in how they approach innovation. They have people like us in-house, so innovation experts, service designers, whatever. So you have full teams of innovation experts. And if you work with them, of course, the context will be very different than if you work with a traditional industrial B2B company that's creating some kind of machinery or something. For them, sometimes they don't even have a dedicated innovation manager. So that's just an indication that the context will be very different. So if you need to say, okay, what typically goes wrong, there's just not a one size fits all. What I think so the why you should innovate, this is, for me, there's less confusion there. So if you're in a very mature business, I think people realize, okay, we have the resources, we could innovate, the market could evolve quickly. If you're in a business in decline, everybody understands, okay, we need to innovate because we need new adjacent offerings or enter new markets. So I don't see a lot of confusion about the why. Of course, you need communication. I think there's more confusion about the how, in my view. Mm-hmm. So the process, how to get there, and so the different tools you might need, the structure you might need, maybe the governance roles surrounding that, the resource you might need to free up. So most of the time, I think it's rather about that people are not used to working in this way. It's a new way of working. So the how component, people might read, some people have read some books, or people had experience from other companies, maybe in a different culture, and that we need to guide them more about the process and the tools and what and managing expectations around this to create some clarity there. But okay, that's just the how. You need, of course, more other elements as well. But if you ask me, then probably how is more critical.